Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Employers, simplify your pension scheme with a Zurich Master Trust. Zurich Corporate Pensions. Trust excellence. Visit zurichcorporate.ie.
Text 51551. Drive Time on RTE Radio 1.
Well, they're still applauding in the Dáil Chamber. Jerry Buttermer now taking to his feet with some final comments to US President Joe Biden. We're joined on the line by Monica McWilliams, co-founder of the Northern Ireland Women's Coalition and a signatory of the Good Friday Agreement, who, among many of the rest of us, has been listening to that speech. You're very welcome, Monica, to the programme this evening. What did you make of what he had to say?
Well, it was a very wide-ranging speech. I thought he was very emotional, and he clearly felt at home, and it was lovely as he sat down just now to see him take a few moments quietly to himself and reflect on what had just happened. Mm. And it was a great honour actually to hear the speaker introduce him in the way that he did. I thought those words were also incredibly important, and that link between Ireland and the United States. I have a son, actually, who's emigrated to the United States, who lives in Chicago. And I was just thinking of him during the speech. So as President Biden brought us down memory lane in terms of his ancestors, I was also thinking of the generation that are currently across the Atlantic and those that have returned home. But what I find was interesting that he reached out to the issue of humanitarian aid. Mm. Because I've just come from South Sudan, and the wonderful work of humanitarian aid workers through Concern that I saw myself at first hand in a very remote part of South Sudan called Bentu. And what he has done, I think, is incredible. He came yesterday to our in Northern Ireland, to our university where I taught, and he gave the young people a great morale boost, which I think we all need.
Yeah.
And that's what I felt when I was in South Sudan. And that connection that I heard, when I heard his words today, I thought, this is what is needed, North and South, at the minute.
It was a very personal speech, as you've said, with his own personal history throughout, going back to his ancestors, his great-great-grandfather, right up until the present. But there was lots of politics sort of dotted through it as well, not least, as you say, about the Good Friday Agreement and peace on this island. He said that peace is precious, and he said that, and I'll quote, the United Kingdom should be working closer with Ireland in this endeavour. Political violence must never be allowed to take hold again on this island. What did you make of those comments?
That was an interesting statement. It was just a very short statement, and it's probably all it needed. Mm. And he is absolutely correct that for 6 years there was a breakdown in the relationship between the British government and the Irish government over the fallout from Brexit. Now that relationship has been restored, and it was much needed. And I think that was a message. Don't ever let that happen again. And that when there's a vacuum, and that's the most important point of all, because I know this from my work currently on the Commission to Disband Paramilitaries, that where there's a vacuum, you do have the potential for spontaneous violence. And I don't think there'll ever be a recurrence of violence on the island of Ireland, North or South. But he is quite right that the responsibility lies in the shoulders of both the British and Irish governments, and particularly for that relationship to be kept strong, never again for it to go the way it went for those 6 years.
Just finally then, Monica, I know, as you mentioned, when he was in Belfast, he was speaking at Ulster University, and he actually mentioned you by name in a speech that he made there when he was talking about leaders of peace. He mentioned John Hume, David Trimble, David Irvine, yourself and Mary Robinson. You got to meet him on Tuesday. What did he have to say, or how was that conversation?
I got to meet him on Wednesday, actually. Yesterday. The university was my place of employment, but also that is a new campus. And that is the location of a building that I walked into 25 years ago, because it was the location of the Forum for Dialogue and Understanding. And yesterday I felt at ease. It was a much more pleasant place, I can tell you, to be 25 years later than it was then. Because the behaviour then wasn't great, and the insults that I used to face each Friday was pretty tough. So I was glad that he said and paid tribute to the women for the long, hard years of work. And I thanked him for that when I met him. And I also introduced him to Sandra Peake, who is the director of Way of the Victims Organisation, the Trauma Centre in Northern Ireland. And I said to him, this is the woman who's doing such good work now. And he said, I know my daughter is a social worker and I understand the need for work to be done on trauma. And I just thought that is just the conversation that two human beings, even if he's the president of the United States, would have with someone who needed to hear those words and to be encouraged to go on to work with the victims of our conflict. So that was the conversation that we had yesterday.
Well, it sounds like a very positive conversation in which, as part of what has really been, it looks like a very, very positive trip. And thank you very much, Monica, for joining us with your thoughts on that speech. I see President Joe Biden on his feet now. He's saying goodbye to people as he leaves the Dáil Chamber. Monica McWilliams, thank you very much.
Drive Time on RTÉ Radio 1 with Sarah McInerney and Cormac O'Hara.
Well, following that address to the Iraq, this US President Joe Biden is now, well, he still hasn't left Leinster House, but he will eventually be making his way to Dublin Castle for a state banquet. And for more reaction to what he had to say in that speech, we're joined now by Minister for Agriculture, Food and the Marine, Charlie McConlogue. And thank you, Minister, for joining us this evening. That speech was hugely anticipated in Leinster
evening,
House
Sarah.
Today. A big standing ovation when he arrived in. A key political moment of President Biden's visit. He's the fourth president to address the Dáil. As we've mentioned, there were a number of public figures there, such as former politicians Gerry Adams and Bertie Ahern and former President Mary McAleese in attendance. And the President kicked off with a couple of fuckle, Tomé Seo Awalia. What did you make of his speech?
Yeah, well, I think it very much had that sense to it, Sarah, that it was very much felt like a homecoming. And I think it very much demonstrated the President's very genuine affection and very genuine belonging to Ireland. And I think he was quite moved by the occasion, and certainly to a very full Dáil, representing politicians and leaders from across the island. He was given a very, very warm welcome. And I think he struck a very good note as well, recognising the significance of his visit. It's the poignance of the timing in relation to the 25th anniversary of the Good Friday Agreement, and the importance of building on what had been the historic ties between our countries, in terms of, you know, very much built in immigration initially to what has become very much economic ties and cultural ties in recent years. And particularly, you know, he pointed out very strongly the two-way nature of the economic relationships between our countries now, and his determination to continue to build in that, build in the long-standing relationships we have, and also really particularly look at developing the economic potential that is there in Northern Ireland and the importance of the re-establishment of the institutions in the north to facilitating that.
He talked about how his grandpop said to him that he was worried about him sometimes, that he might go a little bit too far. Let's just have a listen exactly what he had to say on this.
And I never understood what he meant when he said, Joey, I worry about you. He'd lean over. I said, Pop, what do you worry about? He said, you're too much. You're too much like that guy who led the revolution instead of the guy who was the prime minister. I said, who's? He said, you got to be less like the military guy. They shot him. more like De Valera.
Less like Michael Collins, more like De Valera. What did you make of that, Charlie McConlogue?
Yeah, no, I think certainly President Biden displays many of the traits of both, and has certainly listened to his father. I think he mentioned as well in relation to the messages that his grandfather very much drove home to him, and that was the importance of dignity and respecting everyone's dignity. And he was delivering the message that that's really important here in terms of the island, in terms of everyone working to the same principles and to the same values, and also how we share those values between the US and ourselves.
Okay, but would you quietly chalk it down as one for Fianna Fáil?
I'll take it, definitely, Sarah. I'll take it, yeah.
In relation to the Good Friday Agreement, he made quite a number of comments in relation to that. And really some of the strongest comments we've heard from him so far in this visit in relation to Northern Ireland. He said peace is precious and that the United Kingdom should be working closer with Ireland in this endeavour, that political violence must never be allowed to take hold again on this island. Do you welcome those comments?
Yeah, I do. And I think he struck a really balanced note throughout his visit here, both in terms of his comments in Northern Ireland, again, his contribution in the Dáil today. And I think he very much wants his visit here to act as helping and build momentum to get the institutions back together. And both in terms of his own influence and indeed his appointment of Joe Kennedy in recent times as a peace envoy, I think he wants to use his influence to working with the UK government, working with the Irish government to be helpful in the same way that had been the case 25 years ago to delivering peace then, but also to delivering on that potential now. And, you know, it's very rare that the President of the United States spends 4 days in any country when he has such a busy and demanding agenda, domestic agenda. And I think the fact that he spent 4 days in Ireland this week very much reflects his commitment to actually building on the potential that is that the Good Friday Agreement provides for all of us.
And yet we did see yesterday comments from former DUP leader Arlene Foster about how Joe Biden hates the UK, and quite a lot of commentary in the UK media as well about whether or not Joe Biden hates the UK or is anti-British. Is there any possibility, do you think, that his support for the Good Friday Agreement or some of his visits here or his very strong support for Ireland might in some way backfire or not be as helpful as you might think because of this perception that we see growing perhaps in the UK that he's not on their side?
No, I don't think so. Like I think the fact that he has chosen on the 25th anniversary to come here and to spend time in Northern Ireland, to spend time in the Republic, delivers a very strong message. And I think throughout the course of this week, his comments have been very measured to actually try and drive progress and build momentum. I do think those comments from Arlene Foster were unfair and unrepresentative. And I think anyone who's engaged with him this week and who's listened to him this week can only take one message from him, and that's that he wants, and the United States wants to be helpful, wants to work, as they've always done, to deliver on the promise of the Good Friday Agreement. And I think his visit this week can only help achieve that.
You talked as well about how he went on at length, actually, about the relationship between Ireland and America, both the social and emotional relationship, but also the economic relationship. And he was talking about the significant number of US multinational companies based here. He said it was important, though, that those corporations pay their fair share of taxes. Was that a shot across our bow, do you think?
I think it's a fair point and one we would subscribe to. I think it was very significant the fact that he mentioned the appetite is there for investment in Northern Ireland, the fact that he wants to build on those economic ties that are there and the economic relationships that have been growing both ways. And he was very specific and very strong in pointing out how it's a two-way relationship and how we, as I said, are now the ninth largest investor into the United States. And that's very, who would ever have thought that would be the case in the past where we were exporting our people. It's very much now about exporting our intellectual property and our skill sets and having that two-way economic relationships. So I think we certainly would agree with him in relation to his comments on that. And I think the message from today is the fact that we can continue to build on the very successful economic relationship we've had on top of the strong friendship that we have.
I know you were part of the Irish delegation that greeted Joe Biden at Áras an Uachtaráin earlier this afternoon, and he also held a bilateral meeting with Taoiseach Leo Varadkar Farmley earlier this afternoon, where he really emphasised the strength of Irish-US relations. Is that really what this visit is all about, do you think?
Yes, absolutely. And he's accompanied this week as well by his Secretary for Agriculture, Tom Vilsack, as well as the Secretary of State, Anthony Blinken. And I had a good engagement earlier with Secretary Vilsack, and indeed I'll be meeting him bilaterally. He'll be visiting me in the Department of Agriculture tomorrow morning. And I did a trade mission to the United States earlier last year and met Secretary Vilsack then. And that's one aspect of how our relationship is building as well. Over last year, for example, we gained access in terms of sheep meat into the US, which provides a real opportunity. And I hope to build on that relationship over the course of this week with Secretary Vilsack too. So across the board, Sarah, I think what President Biden is hoping to achieve this week is to build the peace and to hope to deliver on the potential of peace in Northern Ireland, but also given his massive affection for the country and genuine sense of belonging to the country, he wants to build as well and use his presidency and his visit here this week to ensure that into the future, that relationship that's been so important to both of us continues, and to use his influence to ensure that that is the case.
There's been quite a bit of speculation that he might use this visit to announce his plan to run for the Democrats for the presidential election in 2 years' time. And yet he mentioned at the end of the speech how he's at the end of his career. I don't know, would you read anything into that?
Well, what he said was he was at the end of his career rather than the beginning of his career. So I think he certainly wasn't giving the impression that that is any way close to the end. But certainly he's had a long career, and he's now at the latter end of it. But I've no doubt and got a very strong impression from him this morning in Áras an Uachtaráin, and indeed with the vibrancy with which he delivered his speech in the Dáil today, the great energy that's there. And I was certainly impressed by that and taken by that. And the point he did make as well is that the wisdom that he brings from the long career that he's had, and certainly I think anyone that meets him this week and anybody that witnessed the speech in the Dáil today will see this great appetite that is there. And I certainly would be betting on him for to go for another 4 years, Sarah.
All right, thank you very much, Minister Charlie McConlogue, for joining us with your thoughts on what US President Joe Biden had to say. Now, we actually, when US President Joe Biden finished his speech, we pulled out of the Dáil in terms of the live coverage. But just after that, Seanad Cathaoirleach and Fine Gael Senator Jerry Buttermer addressed the Dáil and President Biden, and he thanked the President for being one of the first political leaders to publicly support marriage equality. Let's take a listen.
On a personal level, may I thank you for being one of the first leaders to publicly support marriage equality. In your infamous Meet the Press interview in 2012 with David Gregory, you framed the debate as a simple proposition. Who do you love, and will you be loyal to that person that you love? With this statement, Mr. President, you held aloft your respect for diversity, and others followed, including my very good friend Enda Kenny here, who, as part of his government, allowed us to have a referendum on marriage equality in our country. Mr. President, your intervention was a truly transformative moment that changed the political narrative around marriage equality. And like the architects of the Good Friday Agreement, who took a risk, you took a risk. And I thank you, because of you and the generosity of the Irish people, I can wear this wedding ring as a symbol of my love for my husband, who's here today.